I was thinking of Deuteronomy 18. Moses, of course, was a prophet, wasn't he? In verse 17, and the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. Verse 18, I will raise them up a prophet. And of course, this is the Lord Jesus. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I have commanded him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he will speak in my name, I will require it of him, and so on. So I was just thinking of verse 18, I will put my words in his mouth. You were pointing out the prophet brings the word of God to the people and brings it to bear on specific situations too. Samuel is usually considered the first prophet in the line of prophets, isn't he?
Actually, there are two ways to look at the prophet from the Word of God. One that we are all familiar with is one who will be telling the future, foretelling. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, the prophets, they have told the future. And that is something we are familiar with. But I think what Bassem has in mind is the other aspect of what a prophet is. He is not foretelling the future, but he is foretelling. And as Brother Mason was saying, bringing the mind of God into the circumstances at the present time. It's interesting, the first one, as we have heard, that was called prophet was Abraham in Genesis 20 and verse 7. You never read of Abraham telling anything about any future, yet he was called a prophet. And it's interesting also that the Lord Jesus in John chapter 4 with the Samaritan woman, she said, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." At that instant, the Lord had not told her anything about the future, but he brought the mind of God and touched her conscience in the present moment. So a prophet might tell the future, but the prophet also might not speak of the future at all, but bring a message from God to the present circumstances to appeal to the heart and to the conscience of the people of God.
So it appears that this matter of prophecy which the prophet brings becomes a very, very vital ministry among the people of God. Because if you go to 1 Corinthians 14, when the Apostle Paul is talking about the varied spiritual manifestations, he talks about that you would rather prophesy. It seems as though this special gift of God is essential in a day like this, a day of ruin, when the prophet not only tells what the mind of God is, but I think we're emphasizing that he tells what the mind of God is for the particular moment. It's not just speaking, because many of us can do that. We can always find a scripture to bring. We can always have something to say. But what are we saying? Is it what is the mind of God? And I trust that this is the gain that we will get today. But the prophetic word is the word that is suited for the moment. And as we go into the life of Elijah, we will see why it was so essential for the prophetic voice to be heard, because conditions were abnormal.
And I think if you look at the beginning ministry of Elijah, you would realize, I think, what makes a prophet prophet. And that is one that is acquainted with the presence of God. We've been speaking about bringing the mind of God. And one could say from the scripture that one cannot bring the mind of God unless that person is acquainted with the presence of God. as we have heard about Abraham, there was nothing mentioned in relationship to him as telling the future and telling forth events that will take place. But one thing that was known with Abraham, that he was familiar with the presence of God. When you take up Elijah, Elijah utters that statement, "As Jehovah the Lord liveth, before whom I stand," he's acquainted with the presence of God. When you take a prophet like Isaiah, Isaiah could be brought into the sanctuary, and there he becomes familiar with the presence of God and the mind of God. So the feature of such a man is a man that is familiar with the presence of God. And as Basim reminded us, these things are challenging things for us in the present moment. And the challenge is how many of us, dear brethren, sitting today, looking forward to enjoy a day of conference around God's Word, we're familiar with the presence of God.
The man must be a man of prayer. We have in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you." We have to ask believing. Here Elijah asks believing for the life of that child. And often we do not ask believing. So the Lord saw fit to give to Elijah, indeed a man of prayer, and there's evidence that other prophets were men of prayer. They came forth believing. So if we ask believing, it will be given to you. Often we do not ask believing. We fall far short of that requirement. Elijah here shows evidence of asking believing.
Spending time in the Lord's presence and prayer go together. It's interesting, James tells us something we don't read about in Kings, that the matter of the lack of rain was not simply, it just happened. Elijah just all of a sudden was moved to go say there's not going to be any rain. No, it was a matter of prayer. We read he prayed earnestly in James chapter 5. And I think that's the key, that he was in the presence of God. And this really applies to us, I think, in 1 John. We talked about this a little bit Wednesday night in our meeting. That in 1 John it tells us, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that he hears us. We know that we have the petitions of today. It's interesting that Elijah knew what the mind of the Lord was for this circumstance, this situation. And therefore, he could pray earnestly concerning there not being rain. It wasn't just like a light thing that he did. He knew that what he was praying had serious consequences on his people. And yet he learned this in the presence of God, what to pray. And therefore he could pray with earnestness because he knew what to pray.
I was just thinking that the words acquainted with the presence of God and being familiar, even though I those are very good words, I think the understanding that both yourself and Brother John, and you're John also, emphasize is more than just simply getting into the presence of the Lord and just knowing what's there. Because familiarity breeds contempt, and we want to be guarded against that. And simple acquaintance is not enough. So I know the points that you're emphasizing go beyond the simple familiarity or simple acquaintance. It's that Elijah was a man who knew what it meant to sit in the presence of God and allow the presence of God to permeate him. He's the kind of man maybe like an Enoch who walked with God. Can you imagine every morning what it was for Enoch to rise with the anticipation that I'm going to walk with God today? That's the kind of spirit I think Elijah had in the setting here. That it was, he was accustomed to the presence of God overpowering and permeating him. So that there is power to be able to say, there is going to be no rain.